This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Good evening and welcome to this People Speak radio program. This is Earth Play, Rick Chicago, as you know me. And the People Speak radio program normally airs every Tuesday night, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 Eastern on the BBS radio network. You can participate in this show at the bottom of the half hour with any call-in questions that you may have for our guest and from the U.S. and in Canada. Dialing 1-888-429-5471. You can also join us in our Pal Talk chat room, interactive chat room auditorium, the People Speak radio show in category special issues. We have plenty of seating still available. Tonight we have a very, very special guest. We've talked to nuclear engineers. We've talked to climate experts. We've talked to a lot of fascinating people, but tonight I think I'm most honored with our guest tonight, Sylvie Ivanova, from New Earth YouTube channel and megaliths.org. Tonight, we're going to be talking about pre-flood civilizations, megalithic structures around the world, stonemasonry, ancient vehicle tracks, megaliths, underwater cities, pyramids, underground cities, and the list goes on and on and on. We had a little bit of a connection problem. Are you still with us there, Sylvie?
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome to the People Speak radio program. It's an honor to have you here.
Well, I'm flattered and thank you again for the opportunity.
Yes, and there are so many topics. I'm not sure how we're possibly going to get it all in. But first, let's kind of draw a picture for our audience of a civilization that once thrived across the planet. Can you give us a little bit of background who these people were? Were they warlike, peaceful? It seems like it was a worldwide community. Can you paint us a little bit of a picture of the civilizations that you believed existed here before the great cataclysms and the floods? And then we'll work our way forward a little bit.
Well, most likely it wasn't just one. Probably there were many civilizations. Would be a better term instead of the plural would be more precise. Yeah. Well, we can't say much. Were they warlike or were they peaceful people? Because we find many traces of war, but maybe it wasn't like internal one. Maybe it was from external sources. Maybe they were peaceful, but they were invaded by outside forces. So we have so little remaining from them, from the extremely ancient times, that we don't know. We only know what was recently, probably within maybe at the times after Atlantis, because that's when the legends can tell us at least a little bit what was going on. Before that, well, I don't know. I have no clue what kind of people were they.
Yeah. And it seems as though this was a global civilization of different races of people that were wiped out by some kind of a cataclysm or a disaster. And you speak about these people who were survivors who may have even survived up to a couple of thousand years ago. Is that your take on this?
Actually, a few hundred years ago, and in a broader sense, we are those survivors. The unique point in my research is that I think they did not disappear completely in a cataclysm. Of course, a couple of cataclysms helped them to degrade to the stage of what we are. But in general, It was a very gradual degradation. That is why we see some examples of absolutely amazing megaliths built as recent as a few hundred years ago, like some aqueducts in France, for example.
Yes.
Or the amazing megaliths of St. Petersburg in Russia, they have been built with the same technology and same style as Baalbek, for example, but they are very recent. So this old knowledge did not disappear completely in this great disaster, or probably chain of great disasters that was upon the people who survived probably from the times of Atlantis. But it was a gradual losing of knowledge, and
So can you tell us about some of the more recent things that we have not heard about here in the West and in Europe and in Western science? Some of the amazing discoveries that have been found, for instance, Peter the Great. Didn't he discover St. Petersburg, all those cathedrals and buildings standing just in the wilderness, completely intact and very recent? Am I mistaking in this?
That is one of the theories. It's extremely complex when we open old maps of St. Petersburg. And there are some parts of it that seem to be much older. So most likely he did discover something, but there are so many newish looking pieces and repairs also done with this high-tech knowledge still alive. For example, St. Isaac's Cathedral, they have such a high quality steel structure that supports the full building. We don't use such high quality steel. This is definitely not thousands of years old, something that they found. It looks almost brand new and still holds very well. So this is just one of the examples.
I've been looking at those buildings around St. Petersburg and Moscow and all through that region, and it's just phenomenal that they were able to stay intact all this time, hundreds of years before we even had any kind of industrial society that could come close to building anything like that.
Yes, that's one thing. And the other one is that some parts of it are pretty recent. So this is like one of the main proofs that the knowledge was not lost many thousands of years ago, but some bits of it, some pieces of it, were available as recent as a couple of hundred years ago.
Okay, I would like to actually guide people to your website here, megaliths.org. Very, very interesting website. And then after the show, people can go and visit New Earth YouTube channel. But I was noticing something very peculiar. Instead of you saying megaliths, you said melt-a-liths.
That's a different type of structures. Those are, well, they're on the verge of being megaliths or natural or some mixture of them, which would be the strangest of all. That's why I chose a word that is like similar to megaliths, but not really, because I'm not sure myself that they were really built or man-made or intelligently designed. At places they look as if the natural bedrock has been cut, and yet at other spots they're clearly like man-made, you know? But yet then the full mountain looks natural and one spot is unnatural. It's very, very confusing, actually. Those are very, very mysterious.
As if the rock had been melted down and then formed by human hands?
Yes, exactly. That's how it looks at places. And then without any boundary, without any gap or anything, it turns into a natural mountain at places. So it's neither this nor that. It's quite interesting.
And it kind of resembles to me like the Aztec walls, how they were built with interlocking pieces. And this same construction technology seems to be prevalent in just about every place that I have seen you on your videos exploring.
Yeah, it is all over the world. So whatever culture was making it, even in Australia, somebody recently sent me in a nature reserve. It's just fascinating how people find these places. That's why I made the website so that they can submit them. And the main thing is to collect this data, because it is still, people notice things all around the world, but when there is no network where can they share these sites, then it becomes very, it becomes impossible to systematically study them. So I'm making like the first steps of creating a directory where at least we can see the sites next to each other, and then we notice, oh, they are so similar. This is very important, actually, to have them all listed next to each other instead of fragmented.
I here think and there. You're the first person to do that, Sylvie, because I noticed on your website at megalith.org that you're the first person that has put up an interactive map of all of these historical and pre-flood civilizations and sites. Is that correct?
Partially. I was inspired by a Russian website. They made something similar probably 2 or 3 years ago. It was just mind-blowing, fantastic. There was no need of commentary. Just when I saw how similar sites on a map, they're all over the world, you don't need anybody to tell you that there was a worldwide civilization. So that was the Russian website. And I don't know what happened to them. First of all, they removed the map. Then they started taking off the websites. Then their pictures. Very strange. And so then I understood I have to do this, because it had an amazing effect just to show the people what we have.
To find so many of these places in America, you know, we go to high school and we go to college and we don't learn anything.
Yes, and good care. Also, they take a good care to fill up the minds of the students with useless dates and minor details, some of which are total fantasy. But about the major things, those are omitted or just masked as something else or presented as mystery. That's another trick, to say that something is a mystery and then they can just exclude it from history.
Well, how are you being seen by geologists and archaeologists and paleontologists in your work? Do they agree with you? Why do they not look at these things with any kind of discernment or share them with the public? And what kind of reception are you getting from the academic community?
It is very much mixed. Of course, some they just don't even want to talk to me, and others they don't like me. But I have received sometimes, I actually regularly receive even emails, people, professional historians asking me, can I put a small quote from you in my book? I'm amazed that this is actually happening, because I don't hold official degree in history. So I'm very flattered about that. I'm regularly in touch with a couple of professionals. They have been contacting me. So, and I have received probably dozens of letters from real, what would people call real proper historians with degrees. And authors who are very, very positive and follow my work always, yeah.
Well, what I appreciate and like the most about your work is that you're providing a platform that unites both professionals and laymen like ourselves in this research and what does it, discovering the genuine history of the human race and its inhabitants. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this too.
Yes.
So that's one thing that I really appreciated in your work is how you're bringing everybody together, but I wasn't really sure how you were being dealt with or how it's being received. I'm obviously the first person in the West to have ever contacted you for an interview.
Yes, well, actually, I'm doing all this because people requested me to do it. It wasn't my intention. My YouTube channel gradually started getting hundreds of subscribers, and I had a few historic videos, and then in one of them I said, you know what, if you want me to make more, you can just drop me a message. And I didn't even expect that I will receive hundreds of messages, please make more, much to my surprise. And when I started making more, now I have thousands of subscribers. So that's how it all happened, without any intention on my side. But I think all of this is a result to some prayers that I addressed to my spirit guides shortly before that. I felt that I have to do something for this planet. And then all this story happened. People started contacting me all of a sudden to make more of these videos. And that's why I'm doing it.
That's great. You know, we have these underwater cities and underground cities. I mean, it looks as though most of that ancient world was taken in the cataclysm in the sea rise. We've found that the stone masonry, is that our break? Okay.
No, I can hear well.
Good. I thought I heard the music coming in there. But what I wanted to talk about were these megalithic castles and structures that are found in places like France, in places in Europe and Germany, not Germany, Europe, I meant to say, Indonesia, Siam. Now, it piqued my interest that some of these caves and the entrances and passages aren't large enough for human beings. So what's going on here, Sylvie? Are we talking about like another race of people who have these skills and abilities that aren't quite our size? I've heard the term elf castles used a lot. And then I want to ask you about a race of people that the Russians were in contact with until the 1930s, somewhere in that area, in the Macedonia region, is that correct? Where they were smelting copper and building structures into the mountain.
Yes, you're touching many, many topics.
Yes, I know.
Well, about the dwarves, actually, there is this scientific research on dwarves conducted during the last, let's say, 150 years by a Russian university, absolutely respected groups of scientists, not alternative researchers. They went to the spot because when mines were being opened for ore to be mined, they were finding out that the sites already explored, like who has been mining here before us. It looks like it's all opened. And when they sent research groups, the locals told them, yeah, these are the dwarves. Like when the first research groups arrived, still there were elderly people who had memories of the times when the tribes of dwarves were openly in contact with the people. There could be messengers from both sides. There was an address, of course, they knew where to meet them, where to leave messages and even talk with them. So it wasn't, they weren't really in hiding like they are now probably, because now such interactions are only occasional, by chance. We don't know their address anymore. Somebody asked me, even sent me an email, Where can we find them on Google Earth? Can you tell me the spot? So maybe this person was expecting that he can then go to Google Street View and see some dwarves.
Russian people actually believed that there was this race of people, that they were in contact with them, that they traded copper and other goods, and that they had mined the northern, let's say, under the Arctic Circle region. Where did these people just disappear one day?
No, it happened gradually as we were advancing in our suicidal way of lifestyle. They lost more and more contact with us, and currently they live underground. Sometimes they still come out and meet people. And this is not just in the in Siberia. It is also all the way in Central Asia, also in China. We even have some photos left. Actually, in Central Asia, the name of the site eludes me, so many sites. Over there, we have the best proofs. We have tunnels, network of tunnels, where people can't enter. Inside with spears, and they're like dwellings with rooms. And it's pretty much what I saw recently, within the last few months here in Europe. I saw two or three of them. And my boyfriend, he got stuck in one of them. He couldn't even continue. He was worried. And now what? I can't crawl back.
I think I saw a picture of that on your website. He was crawling through the small passages.
Yes, those were the wider parts. The really narrow ones, we could not even take pictures. I had a camera in my hand, but I could not operate it. It was that narrow, 50 centimeters high and 40 centimeters wide.
Yeah. Let's talk about these underground cities that are being found all over the planet. I mean, almost in every hemisphere and country. Lake Titicaca is one that comes to mind. Göbekli Tepe, is that correct? In Turkey, is one of the best known ones.
I don't believe they have underground cities over there, but they're all over Turkey. Probably there could be in vicinity. But the famous monument of Göbekli Tepe, no, it doesn't belong to that category. That belongs to a much more recent age because it's built on the current ground level. So that could be just a couple of thousand years old.
I think I was mistaken. That was the buried city, right?
Göbekli Tepe was buried under sand. Yeah, they don't have underground chambers, at least for now, over there.
So what I was interested in were the formation and the structures of these underground cities. It's my understanding that they had areas for livestock and seed granaries, and they had water and plumbing, and it goes 15 stories, maybe more, underground. How is this possible, and who do you think built this? Not cave people, right? Cavemen?
Well, how can you engineer such a thing? You know, the structure of all these floors, they're very evenly, very well engineered. So to think that the cavemen, as we know them, you know, banging their head like, what was it, Fred and Barney?
Yes.
They can't engineer that. Well, the answer is we don't know. Actually, we don't even have a clue. They're so old. And there was this English scientist, he spent a lot of time in Cappadocia, in Turkey. He really studied in detail, you know, and he discovered that a couple of races have been using at least the ones he studied. Some of them were dwarves. You know, there are certain small details, like he saw that later on some smaller steps were added, like the size of the toilets, things like that. And he noticed that these are subsequent additions. They are not as heavily eroded as the first layers of building. So he found some three or four layers of remodeling those particular cities in that region only. And some of them were dwarfs, I believe, the second layer. And actually, this they're so durable, these type of dwellings, that people use them till nowadays. I even saw one amazing place, even in America, somebody converted, found such cave and made it like luxury. It's absolutely fabulous. I want to go and live there.
So why do you think that they did something like that? Was it practical, a survival mechanism, or maybe the sun or the weather? Or maybe that's just the way their civilization lived. Do you have any insight on that? Why they constructed such places?
Yes, we have legends all over the world. And because they are consistent, like on different continents, we can definitely make the case that there is some truth in it, a seed of truth. Maybe not every detail of every legend is correct, but yes, there were wars, and as a result of those wars, the surface, the outside where we live now on the earth, it became practically unlivable. It became so hot you would get fried alive. So maybe some of the underground cities are from that time. It is just a guess. I'm sure there was such a time because it's in the legends, and we can connect it maybe with this network of underground cities. It's possible to make such a connection, or yeah. But maybe also from other civilizations, because okay, there was underground world, but we don't know what was on top of the earth at that time. Maybe that was inhabited as well. It's also a possibility. Just because it got washed away, it doesn't mean it was never there.
Right.
So we know very little. But in general, yes, this was a result. The earth got heated by all these weapons. That's what we hear from the legends.
So paint us a picture. How much time are we talking about here? Did we have global civilizations 10,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago? I mean, how far back are we talking about where these tri-megalithic structures started appearing around the world? Because many of them appear to be dating back tens of thousands of years. So kind of paint us a picture of what you believed it looked like all those many years ago, and then kind of what happened in a progression to our day.
Well, as far as the megalithic structures, some of them could be very old. Like, for example, at Pumapunku, we see some very old stones. But also in the same area in Peru, in Cusco, we see absolutely amazing megaliths, polygonal, massive. And they look brand new. Just look at them on the photos. They look so fresh. So I'm really not a fan of this theory that many alternative researchers tend to put everything 12,000 years ago without giving it much thinking. No, I don't do that. I think many of the megaliths are much more recent. I mean, like in Baalbek, it's a perfect example. We have a definitely older base. You can see it's much older. It's a different style. It is heavily weathered. And yeah, we have a Roman, so-called Roman finishing on the top. And then there was this Russian group. They made two expeditions. They're really very reliable people. They studied every detail. And at places, actually, it was impossible to say where does one layer end and where does the other start. So in the like in the central area, we have like really a gradual transition between the two. Also, what many people don't pay attention to is that many of the so-called Roman parts are also absolutely massive. So it wasn't like, okay, 12,000 years ago, everything got wiped out and then they came and built it on the top. No, it was a gradual degradation of building techniques. And it's as far as the megaliths, I think most of them were built within the last couple of thousand years, probably two or three. And then there are some of them, like, for example, the elf castles, they could be much older. Those are so worn out by the elements. Those could be a couple of dozen thousands years old or even more. It's dating is extremely complicated task, and but what I believe personally that probably Atlantis sunk some, let's say, 20, 30,000 years ago,
That's a long time.
And that maybe there are some references. It will take me too long to explain. I'll skip that for that for now. And then some 20,000 years ago, we have some old books suggesting that those that I call survivors, they started mixing with the uncivilized tribes in Asia and eventually Europe to smaller extent also in both Americas. Probably the largest group of them went to Asia.
Sylvia, we have to take our one and only commercial break here. You're listening to Sylvia Ivanova from New Earth YouTube channel and megalith.org, who is a researcher in ancient civilizations and pre-flood civilizations. And we're going to be right back with Sylvia with your questions. So don't go anywhere.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, PalTalk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 PalTalk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining PalTalk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Valzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Okay, welcome back to the People Speak Radio Show, live every Tuesday night. People Speak Radio Show airs every Tuesday night, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 10 Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network. You can participate in this show tonight and have questions for our guests by calling in toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 1-888-429-5471. You can also join us in our live interactive chat forum at paltalk.com. We are in the, where are we? We're in the special, the category special issues at paltalk.com at the People Speak Radio Show. Tonight we have Sylvia Ivanova, who is talking about pre-flood civilization, megaliths, and ancient structures all over the planet. You can see her work at megaliths.org. You may want to go over there and look at some of the images that she has very thoughtfully put up. And at the after the show, because it's going to be an audio, her videos at New Earth YouTube channel. That's New Earth YouTube channel, which I am a subscriber. So if you have any questions, go ahead and put them in the chat room, and I'll try to catch those, or you can call in live. Another question. Welcome back, Sylvia. Sylvie.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Another question I had is that the wheel wasn't even discovered till several thousand years ago, but yet you have found evidence globally of ancient vehicle tracks.
We are told it wasn't. It was discovered very recently. That doesn't mean it's absolutely true. Yes, especially the vehicle tracks in Turkey, they're the most fascinating of all. Because you can see a few images in my videos. Obviously, they were left in soft mud. It was just splashing. It got petrified around the tracks. And the most interesting then is, it was soft mud, but there are no hoof prints, no human prints. Well, I don't know, was it really, it could have been also sledges. We don't know what kind of vehicle. It could have been sliding, maybe not really rotating. We really have no clue. Those tracks are very mysterious. And they have all these strange cuttings around them.
Yes.
Well, Alexander Kotevin studied them. He says the only way, the only reason for which they have reached us is that there are a couple of fields that are rather large, like a couple of square kilometers with tracks all over the place, going just in all directions. It's not like a road, just thousands of tracks. So there was no way to destroy them. I mean, they're building like highways on them, gradually destroying them, but still something is left. And now mainly Russian enthusiasts are going there and studying. Now they have found a second, so to say, group of fields in the Phrygian Valley. The first group was mostly in Cappadocia. So that is absolutely mind-blowing. And what Alexander told me just 3 days in an email is that one of the groups that went there just now told him that one of these tracks actually comes out of this network of underground cities, out of the gate, so to say, which is a big new thing. This is now a proof. I haven't seen yet pictures, but if this is really so, it proves the connection between this underground cities network and the tracks.
Well, some of the pictures I saw would make a person believe that these tracks were kind of like for transportation, because they were moving through and around cities. I don't see how you would be able to move giant blocks through some of these corridors and structures. So they obviously weren't being used for moving, you know, megalithic blocks, were they?
We really have no clue. They are quite old. They belong to very old layers. They're just exposed here and there, but they did not belong to our current level. So I don't see any reason to connect them to any megaliths at all. We have some clues that we can connect them to the underground cities, which were primarily rock cut. And what were they used for? Really, it's quite a mystery, because it's like at the place where they're exposed, just the full earth is full of them. Like every few meters, there on every square meter there will be few tracks. So apparently something was just going on constantly, traveling on the earth's surface. And since this new connection with the underground cities is getting more and more confirmed, so it seems people were living underground. The surface of the earth was not suitable for living. It was too hot. Maybe everything was melting. And on the surface there were maybe like these machines or robots just all the time scouting here and there. Maybe it was like that, or maybe not. Really, this is such a faraway time, so we have so little clue about them. And it's very strange, the cuttings next to them, there are so many. What were they? Why were they so close to the road? It looks like they were loading and offloading like something. But what was it? Really, we can't say.
Yeah. So what kind of a timeline would you put on this? How many hundreds or thousands of years ago from our current date was maybe the last remnants of these civilizations still thriving?
The one with the rock cut cities? I have absolutely no clue. Alexander Kultepin, he's like a geologist, but he believes in the official geological mainstream dating of things. So, if that dating is true, then there some could be even 15 or 5 to 30 million years old. I personally don't believe in that dating, the officially famous geological dating. So I take that only as a hypothesis. I don't have a hypothesis of my own when all this happen.
You kind of caught my attention in the first half hour when you were talking about the survivors, when their architecture and remnants of their civilization are still with us and only a couple of hundred years old. So here's my question. Is it possible that remnants of this society that aren't integrated with us maybe split off and their society is walking in tandem to our society perhaps, and they're hidden to us and they still retain some of their knowledge? Is this possible?
It is possible. Like from the legends, we know that there were a couple of tribes that split from us. They refused when this new lifestyle was coming, when people got divorced from nature, when they started losing their magical abilities, when they started becoming narrow-minded. Surely there were tribes, especially in Siberia, who refused this technological way and continued living in the forest. They were hunted down. There are some accounts suggesting that even as recent as some 50 or 60 years ago, a village of them was just destroyed. They tried to kill them all. Something like that. It's not a completely reliable account, but the source that I heard it from sounded quite okay. He was a really decent person and researcher, very, very honest person, and he was remembering what the story that he heard from a villagers a couple of decades ago, when all these theories that I'm telling you now were not even existing, you know. Yes, there is this story. It is in my survivor's theories that somebody had a plane crash and was landed in the these barren areas of Russia and was rescued by this village. And because of this connection, they found that village because of him and just killed them all. Maybe there are more such villages. And also there are certainly beings still residing in the underground tunnels in Siberia, in the uninhabited areas. So what kind of beings? Maybe some of them are still people like us. We know about some dwarves. We really don't know. Those areas are cold and pretty much cut off from civilization. And what I find extremely interesting is that in the Soviet time, now this is a confirmed information, they in those very areas, they were still finding villagers of semi-civilized people. Like they spoke Russian, they knew about the other villages, they had some clothes like us, but they lived in total isolation. Like they did not have any passports, they never traded with the neighborhood villages, just like semi-connected. This is for sure. There were such villages. So it is kind of strange. Why were they living like you never go to the next village 20 kilometers to you? Wow. Yes, right. There was something.
Yeah. So it's your opinion that these survivors, whomever we're talking about, ended up in the regions between Russia and Ural and maybe Upper China in that region? Are there any other areas of the planet where perhaps groups of these survivors survived until recent, pretty recently?
No, I don't have any information about that. No.
Probably St. Petersburg is probably the last evidence of the survivors.
Perhaps. Yeah, maybe they had, the last when they had a country for a last time before they lost the war completely, probably that was the last capital that they withdrew to. And after that, they were just defeated and they scattered. But it's not that they live now in St. Petersburg, nothing like that. That's an inhabited area there. Whatever is left is really in the wilderness, the cold wilderness of Russia.
What do you suppose, Sylvie, made them so different from the rest of us that modern man or, the people of these nations felt like these people were such a threat, needed to be wiped out? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I see it from a rather different angle. All of us have some mixture in our blood from them. So those survivors, they were not like a different species, at least the last remaining generations, those of Siberia. They are absolutely like us, but they were hunted down because they kept the knowledge of like the real history and about who humans are, and they lived in a different way. That's why they were hunted down, because they refused to accept gradually the new belief systems that were imposed over mostly during the last 1,000 years. We changed mainly because new beliefs were introduced gradually to us. But there were some groups that refused to take these new beliefs, like the Cathars.
Right.
They were really hunted down like animals everywhere, just because they stuck to the traditional way of life. They were, their bodies were like ours. And even the people in Africa, in Asia, they have a lot of mixture from this, the blood of the survivors, especially in India. Probably over there we have the largest number of people having a bloodline from them, although they look completely Indian. They have different genes, like what would most people classify as European.
Yeah.
So it's not that they were different people in terms of having a different body. It was just the belief system. And that was not an agreement for those who invest in having the people as they are now on this suicidal path of thinking and acting.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left in the show, Sylvie, and it has been a privilege and a pleasure to have you here. Can I ask you to come back again?
Of course.
Okay. And is there anything that you would like to tell our listening audience, something that you didn't say or you would like to say?
Well, I'm also in touch with people who do past life regressions. And their accounts also have been proven to have lots of historic validity. Like thousands of people have found their graves from previous lives. So there are many confirmed cases. So what we hear from them does have some value. It's not just fantasy. And from them I have heard that really times are coming when the true history will become again knowledge to everybody, because it seems that this dark age that we're living through, the dark age of wars and pollution, is about to end. So there is hope.
I sure hope so. I hope that humanity can somehow find common ground and slow some of the contributions that we're making to the global destruction. Fukushima, the dying of the Pacific Ocean, the melting of the ice caps, fresh water, Monsanto's food. We have so many problems. I would love to see humanity come together and quit this political division and find more common ground than we have negative ground. So thank you so much for being on our show today, Sylvia. I appreciate you so much. And I will talk to you when you get back from your trip in Italy next. Is it October?
Oh, yes. I'm so excited about that. Yeah, in October, yeah.
And if you have anything to say about that, we have about 30 seconds left. Go ahead and tell the folks what you're up to.
Yes, there are these rock cut and maybe even megaliths from some photos. I hope to see also megaliths. They're very old and mostly they're in nature reserves. They are not studied. They are overgrown. I really don't think they're receiving enough of attention. And on some photos, I really see something that looks like very heavily eroded, massive megaliths. Nobody talks about them. So, and vehicle tracks also, I'm very excited. Some of them look like only one track in the middle. So it wasn't a cart or something. So really, really, lots of unstudied stuff there under the radar.
We're out of time, Sylvie. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me on your show.
Good journeys, my friend.
Thank you.
Good night.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.